We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome into the So Rare Andrews podcast brought to you by RotoWire and sponsored by So Rare. I'm Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on So Rare. Joined as always by Andy Black, who you can find as Black on So Rare. This week, we're talking about SO5 lineup prioritization. Andy, what does that even mean?
I don't know. I have no clue. We have a few different topics that we have written down here about lineups and regions and do rewards matter and teams and players, and I don't even know where to start.
The thing that always popped into my head when I was like looking at like what we were going to talk about today is this like kind of flippant phrase from DFS that was just like, just make the best lineups. And it's as simple as that. So prioritize all your lineups and just make them all the best.
So that's the funny thing about SoRare, really, because you can make the best lineups.
Not with my budget.
Well, right. I mean, if you have the money, you can make the best lineups. Just make the best lineup.
You're right. That's a good point.
But that's like such a thing that's like, there really is no such thing. What is the best lineup? All-Star D4, what's the best lineup?
I mean, it's different every week, isn't it? Isn't that the problem, though? Like, not every week PSG has a great one. You can't play Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi together.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I watched one of the DFS shows that you guys did, and I think it was one of the first Champions League game that Messi was playing in. And I think one of the strategies was play all three of them.
Yes.
That probably did not pan out well.
Did not work. Nope.
And I guess like long term, I wonder if they're really going to just like steal, if all the decisives now are split amongst them.
It certainly makes sense. I mean, when you consider that they would have to score just so many more goals than they have been, and they've been scoring, like it just doesn't seem like there's enough soccer to play to get that many goals to make it all so that they all just crush every time.
Yeah.
Or you just assume that one assists the other on every goal. Like literally every single one.
Uh-huh.
But they don't do that. So when you build, I don't even want to talk about like week to week lineups, because like I tend to look at my gallery in lineups. So like I have like a group of guys that are like I always want to play in, you know, America D3, and guys that I always play in Asia D4. Ideally, I would just have five cards and I could play them all the time. But obviously you can't like do that every week, but I pretty much have like where I want all of my lineups to look. Like if they all had like great matchups and everybody was fit, and it's like, that's what I want to do. And obviously with injuries or bad matchups, like you kind of, or anything else, like you don't play the same lineups every week. But like, do you go into a game week like, I'm going to do this lineup first because this lineup is my most important? And if you do, what makes it the most important lineup?
Really good question. And I've kind of answered this before. Like I think sometimes I have bad strategy here, and I'll prioritize more lineups instead of quality lineups. And obviously that's not great. I've really deprioritized out of Champion America just because I feel like the prizes there kind of stink just overall. Sure, there's cards that I want to win in that region, but it's America's really weird right now. Like, I feel like there's not a ton of those like cheat code cards. I mean, certainly when like Ladero and Carlos Gil and
the artist formerly known as Carlos Vela.
Yeah, Vela. Those guys can be cheat codes, but none of them are right now. And going forward, will those be the cheat code cards? I don't know. But I don't know that there's like any cards in that region that I want to win. And Max just really said it. All-Star D3 is great. It's great. There's the most star prizes there. I think U23 D3 is pretty good. In fact, I came across a really weird conundrum this week, and I think it's a good one to share here. And okay, since I have not like finalized my lineups, we can discuss it. U23 D3 and U23 D2. U23 D3 has, I'll have to pull it up, the number of star prizes there. There's 10 star prizes there, if I remember correctly. And U23 D2, there's only one tier one super rare. Just one.
So stupid.
So, like, I have probably the most blue chip card you can have for U23 super rares. I've got Noah Lang super rare. It's like probably the best card you can have in that region. Where do I play them? Do I put them in D2 or D3?
Yeah, I think you sent that to me, like the two breakdowns earlier this week. And you were like, why are there so many more stars? And I was like, well, it's because they're super rares in D2. That's the difference.
And I got to walk back something. There's two tier one super rares in D2.
Right. So you need to podium to get a tier one super rare. And obviously a tier one U23 super rare is probably a pretty great card.
Yeah, there's good ones in there.
Yeah.
Really good ones. There's some meh cards in there too.
Sure. But you have to beat everybody to get
one. Yeah.
Except one person. You can finish second.
Right. And there's 113 lineups currently there.
13?
113.
Oh, I was going to say 13. Yeah, go for it. All right, 113. Yeah. So if you won, I think you said you looked through the tier two list, and there are definitely some good cards in that group.
Yeah.
Are there any you would keep to like play? Are they better than what you have?
I'm scrolling through now. Like Georgi Mihaljevic, yes, would keep that card. A Yari super rare would be cool, right? Yari? A Dest super rare is in there. So yes, there's certainly cards in there that are getting kept. There's some fun ones.
That's fair.
There's some bad ones in there too, though. Like, this may not be a bad card. It feels like it's a bad card. It's the Chicago's backup goalkeeper that's starting right now. He's like a super young guy.
I think he's going to be the starter.
Is he Gabriel Slonina?
Slonina, yeah.
That's a good card then, I guess.
You have to watch out because there's another Slonina.
Is there?
It's like the AC Milan Donnarumma problem.
Wow.
So just watch out. I don't think the other one's a goalie. But
it's wild.
Yeah, I think the way that you have to look at it is the realistic, I don't want to say the realistic super rare that you get, but like the odds are you're not getting a tier one. And so, and whatever. Do you think that the tier two, do they do tier threes in D2?
Do they do tier threes in D2?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So like, do you think that the tier two or tier three super rare that you win will be more valuable either selling it or for your lineups than the star rare?
So
like, do you need this? This is such a, like a whale question. I love asking it.
Yeah.
Do you even need star rare U23s anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
I mean, the rare cards, man, have so much utility. You can play them D2 to D4. So
sure.
Star rares are the best cards on the platform, I feel like. So that kind of winds it back to, like, you should almost – I feel like you should almost always prioritize D3.
I do.
Unless there's stars in the pool. If you can win a star, then that kind of puts that, like, lotto, you know, that jackpot play in. And if there's an Mbappe super rare in the pool, like, I almost feel like you have to kind of go for it.
But there isn't in D2.
No, there's not. I agree. It's not there. So it makes me want to just submit like a more punty D2 and really go for the star rare.
I think that's definitely what I would do.
And there's so in D3, U23 D3, there's 10. Or is it 9? No, there's 10 star rares that you can win.
And how many people end up entering that? Like 400?
Yeah, like it'll be 450 to 500 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think I don't think they've given a reason to prioritize D2. And I don't want to like go into a rewards rabbit hole here because
right.
There's been too much of that over this international break. But I fundamentally think that weekend game week first place should get a star.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
You don't have to give out multiple, just one.
That's enough of a carrot for me to start like prioritizing it. All there needs to be is one for me. And then it's like, okay, I can win that ridiculous card that's worth God knows what.
Yeah.
Then you got my attention.
I want to go back to the Champion America thing for a second, because most of my better cards are Champion America cards.
Yeah.
And we're at kind of the end of the MLS season. And actually, some of my better Champion America cards aren't even MLS cards, but the ones that I have are good. And this is going to sound really, really arrogant.
But
I'm going to say it anyway.
Yep.
Mostly because I, since I saw what happened later, I feel like I actually got screwed by winning this. But anyway. So, yeah, HG just is calling me out here. So I won Carlos Heel for winning All-Star D4. Not Neymar, not Mbappe. Carlos Heel, who's the best card in Champion America, which is great. It's an awesome card. I love having it. I used that card to win Vela, who at the time was like the second best card you could have. I played Vela once since because he's been injured and he's still hurt. The reason to play Champion America is to win the best cards in Champion America. And the arrogance that I will say, I have them. I won them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I haven't been able to use them that much. Carlos Heel, I have. Heel, I now use in All-Star D3 because why not?
I think the struggle a little bit too, like when I said I've deprioritized the region because the prizes aren't that good. Yeah, you can still win good cards, but they're not selling for a lot right now. So like the immediate gratification of, oh, I won, whoever is in that star pool, well, all the stars prices are deflated right now because that season's getting ready to end.
Yeah.
So if you're a buyer, sure, it's probably a good buying opportunity. But for someone looking to, you know, sell their star reward from that region, it's going to be worth less than it is, you know, 6 months from now.
Sure.
Probably.
And I don't have the patience for that. We've established that on this podcast
before. Yes, we have.
But yeah, to dig myself deeper into this arrogance hole, I saw somebody won one of the Americas, either D3 or D4, recently, and got a Nicolas de la Cruz, a card we both have. You have the super rare, actually. And I was just like, okay, like if I'm going to build a lineup that knocks it out of the park with MLS guys, I don't want to win an MLS guy again or a Champion America guy. So now I'm putting my best cards in All-Star.
Little banter in chat that there's been a tier zero super rare for first in D2, but I think that was only in Global All-Star. And I don't think I've seen that in U23 for a long time, very long time.
Do you know where those tier zero super rare U23s are?
Yeah, in probably Global in their their regionals or global all-star.
Even global all-star, yeah.
Yeah.
Feels a little backwards. So anyway, so is this U23?
D1-2, yeah, max.
D3 or D2? Oh, yeah, D1. Is that where you start?
I think this week, what did I start with? This week I started with Champion Asia because that's like my dumbest lineup. Like, it has no chance. Like, that lineup has no chance for me to win a card. But it's like, let's get that out of the way and let's get that set up to where I don't have to worry about, you know, accidentally using that keeper somewhere else or something. Right. So I got that one just like set and out of the way. And I don't do any research on that lineup either. So it's like, it just gets it out of the way. I'm done. I'm completely done with that one. Then I think I did U23 this week, but then I got really frustrated because I didn't know whether I bought cards. I bought new cards to play D2. And then I'm sitting here looking at the rewards like, I shouldn't play D2 this week.
Whoops.
Yeah, so I guess I'll be like spreading those cards into other regions. I don't know. But yeah.
Do you start with the let's say you start with the U23 D3 or whatever it is, it's U23. Yeah. Do you do it because you're like, how am I going to utilize this Noah Lang super rare?
Yes.
Like, is that actually where you start?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the card I'll place first on the board. It's right. Like, okay, this is where I'm putting it or whatever. And this, like, it started with me putting it in D2, and I built that, like, a super D2 team. And I was like, all right, this looks good. And then I started on my D3, and I think I finished the D3 team. And then I looked back at prizes, and then I was like, I'm doing this wrong. Then I wiped both of them. And I think right now I have a really good D3. And I have not done D2 or D4 yet.
Okay.
So I think really what it comes down to is prizes. Like, where are the prizes best at? That's where I should start.
Our mutual friend, Sean Newsham, always starts with prizes.
Yeah. And I think that's the correct – I think he's doing it right.
I think so too. So – Mike Baston was asking if I was not interested in winning another Carlos Heel card. So we have also started the conspiracy that if you own cards, you're more likely to win them again. So yes. I probably should try to play more Champion America so that I can win another Carlos Heel card. Somebody was asking me about it last week or was it last weekend? Might have been. When I wanted Brendan Aaronson limited because I already had one. And the response I had, and maybe I was able to be a little flippant about it because it's a cheaper card, or it was, is it's just not as fun to win a card you already have. And we talk about how like the rewards process, it doesn't like present itself as being like really fun, but like winning is fun and opening rewards is cool. And then when you see the same card that you have, like it's work because now it's like, do I have to go sell this? Now I have to go see how much people are selling it for. And now I see that it's at 6-month low. Do I keep this card now? Like, it's just not as fun. And so, yeah, sure. I would take plenty of Carlos Heel cards, but like,
I will agree with you until it gets to the star tier. And then if I'm winning a star that I already got, there's not a single complaint from me.
That's fair.
If I win another Noah Lang, by all means, bring them on.
Okay.
Hear that, Carl and Nicholas and whoever else is setting up those algorithms. Bring them on, baby.
Okay. That's fair. The star ones, I'll give you that one. So you start with Lang, and have you ever played him, or let me rephrase, how often do you think you play him not in U23?
Very rarely. Like, if I can't surround him with like what I would consider an elite lineup, then I'll move him to Challenger or Global All-Star. Although moving him to Challenger is probably not great for me because I can't 100% surround him with like a totally elite lineup. I can put him with a Vanaken, which is great. And then if the rest of like my Bruges stack's playing, I can do that. And like, if the matchup made sense, I could play that. But I'd have to have a super rare that came from somewhere else because he's the only Bruges super rare I got, for instance. So I'd have to do some balancing and trickery and moving guys around. But
I don't have a Vanaken super rare?
No. I wish I did. Max said it best, though. Probably the place to put him would be All-Star D3. If I'm not playing him in U23, he should go in All-Star D3.
I find it funny you keep calling him Max.
Yeah. It's weird because I would never call him that, but I just see his first name. So I'm, I don't know.
Anyway, I have to stick up because he's my new boss. So where do you go from? Like, so you said you wanted, do you actually think of putting Noah Lang in Challenger before All-Star? Like, I feel like All-Star has, we've had this like thought of like, not just like throw my extras in All-Star, but it does feel like a lot of people who have like bigger galleries do that.
Yeah.
And I think the reason we do it is because if you prioritize All-Star, you might end up like not being able to make lineups in some regions.
That's
not fun.
We go right back to more lineups versus better lineups.
Totally.
And we go to more lineups competing for worse prizes when right. We could just do the better lineup competing for the best prize. And we've kind of established that All-Star D3 has like the best. Because how many star prizes are in that region this week? D3.
It's as simple as more than anywhere else.
28. You can win 28 stars there. And granted, there's a lot of lineups there, 1,750, but it's a lot
of
people.
Could there be 28 players in the star tier anyway? Sorry, I don't want to. Never mind.
Yeah. A lot of goalkeepers probably.
Yeah. Great. Nothing like coming in fourth in Global All-Star D3 and winning Joe Willis. Yeah, probably Champion Europe, I guess. Is the one that like maybe we see more value, but like I don't know, but that's the problem that I have with prioritizing All-Star. It's because now I'm like, oh, like this week, if I remember correctly, I'm playing America D 2, 3, and 5, but not 4 because I'm playing it in All-Star.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I'm going to tilt myself out of it though. And just be like, oh, I'll play someone else.
If you look, HG has in chat, I think this is his prioritization, which, I mean, he's got all the data, so I'm not going to disagree with him. But he says Champion Europe is greater than Challenger Europe, which is greater than All-Star, which is greater than U23, and then the rest. I think I'm reading that right. Is that right?
Looks like it.
And then he says D3 first, then D4, then D2 last.
Yeah.
I don't know that I disagree, except for like the region prioritizations is tough because it really depends on your gallery, like what cards you have and
sure.
What you already own, I guess.
Would you prefer so If you went by prizes, would you still start with U23?
I shouldn't. I mean, I do prefer to win a younger player because like you can use them longer.
15 years of utility.
Yeah. You joke about that, but I actually do feel that way. It's like I can use that card for a longer period of time. It's got like a longer shelf life. Treating them like objects.
How many U23 cards did you buy or have won that are mainstays in your lineups when they're no longer U23?
That's an awesome question.
Because I think I was talking about this with somebody recently that I forget who the player was, a goalie, but it was like, oh, would you play this guy if he wasn't U20? You know who it was?
Yannick
Van Oosch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had him as a U23 and people were paying plenty for him, and July 1st came around and his price was like a third of what it was. So I was like, people keep talking about like, oh, I'm going to play this guy forever. But most of them you're not.
I never use that card, by the way.
What's that?
I never use that card, by the way.
Right, of course you don't.
A bad team.
Yeah.
They're always conceding three, it feels like.
But if he was U23, he would be in the mix.
That's a weird example, though, because goalkeepers are so stupid.
That's fair.
I got a better example. Well, maybe not better. It's an example that I'm going to use because it helps prove my point.
All right.
Miles Robinson was a great U23 card, and he's still a great non-U23 card. That said, there's like a curve. Like when a player is really good in U23, the moment they turn 24, like they fall off that cliff of like not being maybe elite anymore, but just being a guy. Yeah. And then maybe when they hit their prime years of like 26 to 29 or something, maybe then they're elite again. But they typically fall off of being no longer like that elite guy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's
being in a pool with other guys.
Right. It's like you're on one day, you're comparing him to everybody else who is his age and younger.
Right.
And he could just crush all those people. And then the next day it's like, oh, now I'm comparing him to Mbappe and Messi. And is he that good? The one guy that popped into my head that obviously like wasn't quite as valuable when he turned 24, but still it crushes is Kikuchi.
Yeah.
They're like,
that's a good one.
People just went from just destroying U23s to destroying global all-star with him. And that's it. But I just feel like they're a ton of them are, cause we were talking about this, but that was one of our like first podcasts, the U23 purge, and like all these cards that we're going to lose. And I mean, it was like MLS time. So it was like, I remember JT Marcinkowski was like the only U23 starting goalie in MLS because Ochoa hadn't started yet. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, he's not 23 anymore. And I think he's on the market right now for under 0.2.
Really? Well,
just gone.
Which actually kind of makes sense. Their season's ending. He's not U23. He plays on a crappy team that concedes a lot of goals. Like, he should be a cheap goalie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except but if you're right, if he's U23, he'd be worth like three times more.
Right.
Or maybe at least double. Probably double. Because like David Ochoa is like, I don't know. Like at least reasonable now.
The only reason why Ochoa is as much as he is because he's 20. Like he's not 23.
Yeah.
Like you got years left. But like he plays for a bad team.
Right.
That doesn't get many clean sheets. Yeah. But he just happens to be young. That's going to be Slonina for the next 6 years.
Hey, maybe. Ugh. Everybody's going to go buy Slonina now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's already expensive. Like the fact that, and like, would you pay 0.35 to 0.4 for a Chicago Fire goalie?
You don't even have to ask me that.
Yeah. No. He's 17. Okay. Yeah. I'll do it. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Can I get two of them? Yeah. No, I don't. Anyway. So after Noah Lang, what do you do?
Oh, yeah. So I would finish all the U23s. Just do all the U23s. Because then I don't feel like I'm doing that thing where it's like I got to use all my cards. So I got to enter the most regions. And I feel like it's wrong. I know it's probably wrong, but I can't stop myself from doing it.
Have
I seen someone about this?
No. I was going to say, like, do you have enough where you end up using U23 guys in All-Star or anywhere else?
Sure. Yeah.
You just have so many U23 cards.
So many of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm set for the next 8 years, man.
Right. So Mike's asking, which MLS outfield players do you think hold their value when they lose U23 status? So I love this question because I have two answers for it. One, if the guys are so good as U23 MLS players, they should leave MLS.
Oh.
And then you have to figure out whether they're going to play elsewhere. Like Diego Rossi goes to Turkey. He's good. He might be good there, but like he was elite in MLS. And the idea is if you're really good in MLS at a young age, you should get the hell out of there. And leaving usually doesn't lead to a ton of fantasy points elsewhere. Gianluca Busio seems to be telling us that's wrong, but
yeah,
he might be a different one. But like, do you think Barco good once Ezequiel Barco turns 24 and if he's still in MLS, or Castellanos? Medina just turned 20, like he's no longer U23 and he actually lost his spot. So like, I don't think there are any. And if there are, there are random guys like Miles Robinson.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, like Brooks Lennon maybe, because he's already not that expensive. And like, I don't see his value like massively taking a hit when Brooks Lennon, you know, when July 1st comes around next year, right. Like, I'm just looking at the chart. He's already selling for like 0.06. Like, is he going to be a 0.03 card? He's a good player.
He's fine. Usable. Yeah.
Solid. I don't know.
I think
Georgi Mihaljevic, I think, could be a guy that like he's could be still good, serviceable. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. It's difficult to answer, especially when you got guys that are like 20. 21, like Barco is a weird one because he's still going to have another year of U20. I mean, he was kind of like a weird one to me because Barco, like last year, I felt like he was underperformed. Beginning of this year, really underperformed. And then he went on the craziest heater I've ever seen where he was like scoring 80 plus for like 6 or 7 straight weeks. So I don't know. I don't know what he looks like long-term.
I was long a Barco hater and said like anything that he did well was because like Almiron and Yosef Martinez just took up all the space and so or took up all the attention, and so anytime Barco scored it was like, well yeah, because the entire team is looking at the two superstars. And then he went on that horrible run last year and I was like, told you, and I'm just absolutely eating it right now. Quinny's a big Barco guy.
I think he is too.
Has a shirt and everything.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although there was talk, actually, I don't think Quinny's around anymore, but Quinny was talking about selling him, I thought. And because I remember asking him if the shirt went with the card.
You know, speaking of guys that hold value, I mean, get on the Pepe train, man. I mean, if he's the U.S. men's national team striker, then that card's holding value, right?
I mean, there's talk he's going to Wolfsburg. Which, like, I don't know.
No, the question was when he is no longer U23.
Oh.
Not when he goes to Wolfsburg. Because when he goes to Wolfsburg, that's going to be awful for him. Initially.
It could be forever.
Well, he's, like, 18 years old. He's got, like, 6 more years of U23. That's a tough one to answer. Because who knows, like. Maybe this is just like a flash in the pan and he's really Freddie Adu underneath, you know, he's got a mask underneath and he's really Freddie Adu or something.
Boo.
Yeah.
No, I hope not. No, I think he's a real deal. I think Ferreira is better though, but maybe he's just like so rare better.
Yeah. I've heard some people like having those discussions and comparisons, and that's interesting, I guess.
Yeah. The Ferreira is stuck because, at least from the national team picture, because there are too many guys who play his position that are better than him. Now, that just happens. But he's great for Dallas.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So do you... Bob Flynn says he needs more all-around scores. I assume that's Pepe because Ferreira's is really good.
I got like Pepe. I don't ever see like really being an all-around monster. He's just, I don't think he just does enough, doesn't touch.
He's just a classic center forward, huge guy in the box that
turn and
shoot. Score a ton of goals. Yeah. So you prioritize Noah Lang.
Yeah. I really prioritize a specific player.
So that, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I used to do that, but I definitely still do it. But it started when I got that Rusnak super rare, because it was like my first super rare. So it was like, I think at the time it was the most I'd ever spent on a card. And so it was like, if I'm going to spend this much, then everything I do should be about getting the most out of that card. And so it's like putting the best cards with it and putting it in the best place that I can win something. And so all of this, like, oh, what lineups do you prioritize? Which regions? And I'm like, no, I have this one card and I'm going to try to win as much as I can out of this one card. And obviously I have to make the four players around him good. But yeah, it's absolutely that card. And I think a lot of my lineups are built that way, that I'm like, oh, I have, you know, if I have a good challenger card, I basically do this with D5 now, because other than America's, like, my rare cards aren't that great in challenger. I don't even really have a Europe card or Europe lineup. But yeah, so now I'm like trying to make better lineups from specific cards. And
right. You probably look at Davies, and do you play him in All-Star, Europe, or U23?
So I usually play him in U23, D4. Yep. I have zero U23 super rares. And so, like, I'm not, like, I would play him in D3 if I had super rares, but I don't. So where was I going with that? Oh, man, I had a whole thought and everything.
It's all good. While you're thinking about that, I love this question that just came in. Let's say you've prioritized All-Star D3. What tools do you use to decide who your best striker is? Do you look at recent scores, intuition based on fixture, form, stats? What do you do?
All-Star D3. So I'm playing this week, I'm playing Gustavo Bu in All-Star D3 because I have him with Carlos Heel and they're playing Chicago. I'm hoping they light up this 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So that's a combo that I've used a lot this season.
And I think that combo just kind of does the work for you. Like, are they at home or away? Are they playing a top table team or a bottom table team? Like, it's probably really all the research you need to do for those two players, right?
Yeah. I rarely split them. The goal, when I won Vela, I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to roll out Gil and Vela every week. And Vela hasn't played since.
Yeah.
So, but I play Gil and Boo. The problem, not a problem, but the tough thing with Boo is that his really good all-around scores are when Gil is out, because he takes all the set pieces.
Yeah.
So when they're together, now he's just back to being kind of mostly a decisive dependent forward, which most guys are.
Right.
Like, I think, so this idea of, like, who's the best forward to use in your best lineup, I usually just go with whoever has the best line or the best matchup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't usually, like, I don't have, like, fantastic forwards. And so if one of them has, like, a good matchup, I'll just go there. Forward is by far, like, my weakest spot in every lineup I have.
Yeah. I think really my breakdowns, like, those are pretty much the same as you're doing. Like, I'll look at last five matters because that's like the most recent form. And then really, really I'll look at, like, who are they playing? Are they home or away? home always gives a little bit more priority because I feel like you have a better chance at blowing out a team at home than you do away. And then, like, is it a mid-table team, top-table team? Is it a rivalry game? Like, some of those things do matter. And then I know one thing that you love to do is you like to look at the betting lines, and I've started doing that now because I do think that, I mean, who knows better than anyone else, Vegas?
It's by far the easiest thing to use. Like, all of the research you can try to do is built into the betting odds.
Yeah.
And, like, there are people who are, like, who don't want to trust them, but it's the guys who, like, I think there's a general misunderstanding about how betting odds are even set and how they move and all this stuff. But effectively, like, the best line makers in the world come out with lines, and then the best sports bettors in the world bet those lines.
Yep.
And then they adjust from there. And so by the time it's only Thursday today, and we have games that are happening like Saturday and Sunday, but they're not going to move so drastically. But, like, those are the best, like, sports analytics in the world. So I'm just going to use those.
Right.
I'm so far away from being able to do that stuff that I'll just trust those guys.
And whether a team, you know, whether the line moves $10 or whatever, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. What you care about, are they a big favorite or are they just a small favorite?
Yes.
Which one of those, that's what you need to know. And if they're a big favorite, then maybe you play them in your best lineup. If they're not a favorite or they're a dog or whatever, then, you know, maybe you're chucking them in your all-star D4 and hoping that they get enough for the threshold or something.
No, I think that's absolutely it. And I think, so speaking of the threshold, I think there's not a misconception about, like, how easy it is to win cards in all-star, but I think, and a lot of people have mentioned this, I'm not breaking anything here, but, like, I think there are so many lineups there that are just playing for 205 and 250 that winning cards, the whole, like, you know, number of rewards divided by entries, like, always looks so low, but it's not really that low. And so I feel like, and particularly the All-Star D3, and I think this was something that HG said a while ago on, I forgot whose podcast he was on talking about it. Maybe it was Nellis's. And it was just like, there are better rewards there, and not many people are playing it because everybody plays their best cards in regionals. And I think we're all starting to realize we should all play All-Star, and we are now, but I don't know. I'm going there. Probably to win another cardless heel, but I'm going.
I mean, just the fact that you can win, like, a European card that's worth more than, like, a American player right now tells you that you should probably be playing in All-Star right now. Or at least your best American lineup should maybe be an All-Star right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely why I made that move. And we were talking previously because I loaded up on some limited cards of some, like, elite players, two of which instantly got hurt. So that was cool. But to, like, win, I want to win what's at the top of All-Star. And so, like, I didn't do it to, like, win the top of Challenger or win the top of Champion America Europe. Although the top of All-Star, I'm hoping, is the top of Champion Europe. But, like, I felt like there was an easier, like, if I can win Messi with Kikuchi and Morioka, like, and Cicinha, like, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, for sure.
As I saw that Neymar limiteds are now under 0.4, which I probably should have just waited and bought one instead.
You follow those so closely. You're always watching those limiteds, at least, but definitely the primo guys.
I mean, for the record, you still have more limited cards than I do.
I sold one today.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Was it a reward?
No, it was one that I bought.
Oh, look at you just flipping limiteds.
I think I 3X'd on it too, but it was Wendell. So, I mean, I bought him early in the limiteds because they were one of the first teams that got, like, full release and turned out good. But let me see here.
There's a question here of when would you buy an MLS team? after the season ends or wait for the new season cards?
I definitely wouldn't wait for new season cards.
No, that's already after the season starts.
Yeah.
Which is why we're saying that.
I would buy them, like, just looking at past history, like when the best deals were had was Christmas time of last year. I think people got the lowest of the low prices on MLS cards. Not saying that, that's going to be this year, but just based on last year, I would say like, I don't know, late November, once the season's over, all the way to like late January, maybe. Late January might be getting to be too late. I don't know.
I don't think so.
No.
The regular season doesn't start until like mid April.
I thought it was like early April.
No, they've like preseason. I look back at the schedule because I was like, I thought it was mid March, but they played.
This year was weird though.
For a lot of reasons, but
I think they normally start in March.
In March? Okay. If March is the case, yes, January. late January might be the end. But I think the difficulty with saying like when you should buy is that last year when we're saying you should buy is when you could buy cards for $3.
Yeah.
There were times like So Rare was very, very different then. That was a time when like auctions used to go unbid on. Like literally, like I said that to somebody the other day and they just like couldn't believe me. And I'm like, no, literally like zero bids. And I think Pavel has now decided that's never going to happen again since
I remember bidding on guys because there was like no bids and I was like, well, I'll throw a bid in. And then I would like regret it when I won it for, because the minimum bid was 0.01. It wasn't set to a dollar amount or anything. It was just always 0.01. So it was just like you'd win the guy and then you'd be like, ugh.
I did that. I still have a card because I did that because I can't sell them. It was Edgar Gomez from Santos. U23. So I got plenty of years left to get it out. But I got the card for $5.38, I think. And as soon as I won it, I was like, ugh, why did I just spend $5 on this?
Yeah.
But anyway, that being said, I think even the European season that we just saw, like the prices at the end of the season are the lowest. Like whether they're going to be at, they will not be as low as they were last December.
Right. No way.
But they're going to be the lowest they will be.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think the benefit of buying MLS is that I think most users who are coming to the platform don't want them, like ever.
I wouldn't say that. They're going to want them when there's nothing else to do.
They'll want them then, yes.
Yeah.
But they will not want them in December and January.
Yeah. So get them then when nobody wants them. And then when they figure out that like in March, like, all the European leagues are ending and the only thing to do on the platform is play MLS and Liga MX and these Asian leagues, then yeah. Then you own the cards and you can, you know, that's when you can start flipping and having fun.
And that's when you sell David Ochoa for 0.9 ETH.
Yeah, or who was it, Joe Willis or Maurer?
Maurer.
For 1 ETH. Yeah.
I mean, ETH was lower then, but it still doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's still crazy.
I don't know if it was So Rare's lack of knowledge of MLS and just relying on some stats, but there was a special weekly where you could win a special edition Jimmy Maurer card.
Yeah.
And people were like, I'm going for it.
It was pure scarcity, I think, because MLS had only been on the platform for 1 year.
Yes.
They'd only made enough cards, and the growth between like the last time that those cards had come out basically.
Yeah.
And like, cause that was the middle of the quote unquote boom. So many new users were on the platform and we only had 1 year of MLS cards. So
and none of them were remotely close to 100.
Yeah. Right. Right. So just the number of users compared to the number of cards was just very skewed. And
yeah.
Prices did what prices are going to do in that scenario. They boomed.
We had a follow-up question. If I have enough cards to put out 2 okay teams, should I just go for 1 good team?
1 good team.
The answer is definitely do 1 good team.
And then if you can make like, if you can somehow scrap together a really crummy team, you still put that crummy team in.
Yes.
But 1 good team, definitely. 100%. And if you see me make mistakes that counter that, just ignore them.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do, please.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. I'm starting to do it, I think, though. Slowly.
Sometimes I feel like I'm like doing a good job of it, and then I'll catch myself doing it again. I'll be like, oh, the only reason I'm even doing this is because I wanted an extra lineup.
It's exactly what I did this week. Like, I was looking at my teams last night. I remember it was Tuesday. I was asking you on Tuesday because I was like, oh, I might not have a goalie, and I was doing all this other stuff. And the only reason I was like doing all of this rearranging is because I was like, oh, let me just make these two teams significantly worse so I can get in another lineup. And I was like, I got to stop doing
this. That's exactly how I do it too. Like, I'll set them, I'll do it right first. And then I'll be like, oh, there's a couple bear spots, a Challenger D3. I don't have a team there. Let me see what I can put together. And then I'll start putting something together and I'll be like, oh, I'm missing an extra player. Oh, well, I have an extra midfielder in my D4. I can pull him out and move a forward in there. And then now I have two crummy lineups, and oh, but it feels good. It feels good. I'm a completionist, I guess. And I feel like, oh, I'm done. I've got all the lineups in now.
Yeah.
Like,
now I have them all in.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Do not do it. Don't be tempted.
It's really tempting.
That's why it would be nice when there's like some kind of like automation tool optimizer that just like does it for you. And then like everybody will still go against it.
My guess is that the first optimization tools will say like, here's the best with all of your cards. And really what you should do is like, don't look at all of my cards.
Yeah.
Just take my best cards. Tell me where I should put them, and then I'll just fill out the rest.
Right.
So how many lives did you end up doing on like a full weekend? Is it like 20?
I would say I don't even know how many, to be quite honest. Basically D2 everywhere except for Challenger, and then Asia, I only play D4.
So Challenger's only 4 and 3?
Yeah. And then Asia just D4. And then if the weekly, if I have like cards for the weekly, I'll do that.
Do you ever prioritize the weekly?
Yeah. If again, though, it's like if I have like this week would be, what is it? The players with averages under 40, I think.
Yeah, it's the crappy players special weekly.
Yeah. So I was kind of like scanning through there, and I have a couple cards that would make sense in there. Like Yannick Van Asch, like crappy players.
There he is.
Weekly. That's a great place for him to land. But I know I was struggling to find a certain position. And let's just walk through real quick and find what that position is. We've got decent midfielder in like Pedro Santos. But the real problem is forward. It's hard for me to get a forward in there. And like I could try to force like a Ugbo in there or like Thomas Henry. But I don't know that either of those players will even start. So do I waste all the rest of my players in this lineup, or do I potentially use them somewhere else? Because if Thomas Henry doesn't start, then legitimately this lineup really doesn't have a chance to like win.
Yeah.
Like maybe I could like win a tier 3 or something, but I don't think I could win with Thomas Henry coming off the bench.
Do you, okay. So let's say it's 20 around whatever it is. How many of those are you confident enough to win that will win a card going into the week?
All 20 of them, man.
But do you really think that?
Yeah. Like when I'm done setting my lineups, I'm like really content and I'm like sipping my whiskey or beer or whatever. And I'm like, wow, these are beautiful. They're pristine. No DNPs. They look wonderful. And then as soon as that first game starts, man, disappointment begins.
That's, yeah, all right.
I feel really good about my lineups when I'm done, and that's probably a bad thing.
Do you think that you're, like, when you go through, do you think that the lineup, do you think your Noah Lang lineup is your best one?
Always. Like, that should always be my best lineup. It's my best card. I want the best players surrounding him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't find another one and you're like, ooh, this one actually might be better, whatever it is.
I don't think so. And to walk that back a little bit, like seriously, like when I look at it, it's probably about 3/4 of my lineups where I'm like really feeling good about them. Mm-hmm. And then I would say like a lot of like my more fringe lineups are like my Challenger D3 and my Champion America D3, maybe. Nah, I shouldn't say that one. Challenger D3 and my Asian lineup is usually bad. And I say the Challenger D3 is bad because I don't have an elite super rare besides Noah Lang.
That, like, I was going to say you have Noah Lang.
That would go in there. And I just feel like I'm kind of like behind everyone else in that region. So, which is weird because I have a lot of Belgian League cards. But I wasn't buying super rares early in my so rare career.
Yep.
So I missed out on a lot of those types of cards, the European super rares.
When did you get that Lang?
Right at the very beginning of the boom.
Oh.
I bought or I sold last year when like they announced like the new scoring or whatever, I sold a Vlasic super rare for like 6 or 7 ETH or something. Like, cause he was like the top card on the platform. Or he was like looking at the scoring, he was gonna be like the top U23 player on the platform. And so I got a lot for him, and he funded like a few really nice cards for me.
Now he doesn't even play for West Ham.
Yeah, now he's going to die in West Ham. All of his U23 years will die at West Ham. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'll end up being good there, but it won't be. I don't think it'll be this year. Like, I think there's too much in the way.
Is he still U23 eligible?
Yeah.
Oh, he is.
I think for this year, and I'm not sure about next year. Definitely not yet next year.
Yeah, he's already 24. Already.
Yeah.
But it was October 4th. Oh, he just turned 24. All right.
You Nani or Brenner?
Nani. Nani's a good – well, it depends which Nani you have. But he has a pretty good all-around.
Right. The midfielder or the forward.
Yeah, the forward card has a decent all-around.
Yeah.
Do you think the
delay maybe in F tiers? I don't know that, or I don't know what you're asking.
I don't know what F tiers are. They sound fun though.
Since Laird is now with so rare data, here's a suggestion. If I build a potential team, please have it calculate the points it would have made in all game weeks prior, please. It's interesting.
Could also just add up the L5s.
Yeah.
That are in the lineup builder.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a suggestion.
I like it. But it's definitely one of the things like, here's how much you could have won, but you didn't.
Yeah, that's tough too, because like everything that we just talked about with like matchups and home and away and all that, like you almost throw that L5 and the last game week scores out the window because it's a new week. They played new competition. My guy that played against Wolfsburg is not going to score the same as he scores against Bayern, for instance.
Yeah. Although everybody for Bayern scores the same every game because they just crush everyone. Oh, the delay of the progression bar.
Oh, I think everybody should be so happy about that.
I think so. You have said this a number of times, I don't think on this podcast, and I'm going to make you say it now anyway, but we do laugh about this, that everybody is dying for the progression bar, progress bar. What are you calling it again?
I don't even know why it's called the progress bar, but
I think Sora had to have called it that.
Yeah.
Please explain to everyone why putting it off is great.
Because the progress bar is going to be worse. We're like rooting on, like, when are we going to get more details on the progress bar? The progress bar is going to be worse than the 0.02. Why do you want? I think everyone should shut up about it, and maybe they'll forget about it and there'll be no progress bar and we can keep collecting our 0.01 and 0.02 ETH every game week.
Like, paying out 0.01 and 0.02 is the reason they're like, we can't do this anymore.
Right.
Let's do something
else. It's costing them a ton of money.
Yeah. Let's do something else.
Let's do something where we can give you XP on your players instead of 0.01 and 0.02. And people are like, yeah, give me that XP. Do you want the XP? I would take the money, but
Take the money.
It is weird because I thought that like when they announced that they were going to delay it, because people have been complaining about it and wanting details and all this stuff. And then today when they announced that they were delaying it again, I didn't see any like people upset about it. I was like, it just seemed like everybody was like, okay, cool. But which I think is how everyone should feel. Like the more that gets delayed, the better.
Did they announce that they're not going to do that restriction where if you play D3, you can't play whatever?
I'm sure that's probably that's got to be the hiccup, because when they first announced that they were doing this progression thing, it was going to be if you don't play D3, you could play in the quote unquote academy.
Right, the academy, which then got stolen. The name got stolen by.
Yeah, and then everybody started calling it the progression bar, but. I'm sure that they like did some research and started thinking about it, and they were like, oh, well, if we do this, then nobody will want to play D3 and we'll stop. Like, it's even more reason not to buy super rares, which they've already got a lot of reason. Like, people have a lot of reasons not to buy them now because the prizes kind of stink in D2, and you really don't have to have them in D3, although it helps a ton. Yeah. I think that they were just about to like give you like so many more reasons not to buy them that they probably had to rethink things.
Instead, they just started giving out every prize to everybody in D5.
Yeah. Well, that won't last. That won't last forever because the entries are going to start skyrocketing, I think.
It'd be fine for all of us who are already in.
Yeah.
I don't mean like you and me. I mean like anybody listening to this.
Anybody that bought limiteds, yeah.
I think we'll be okay.
Have you won any good limiteds?
No.
No.
Literally, I don't think so. Like, I think I said this to you, or if I didn't, I said it to somebody else. I have spent too much on limiteds for what I'm winning. And that's not great.
Yeah, I'm not winning anything either. I think that when I didn't win the Spain tickets, that was my best week because I won a Jordi Alba in that special weekly. So it's like a special edition Jordi Alba. So that's a cool card. That's my best winning off of limiteds.
I'm trying to see the most that I've sold. So I've sold almost all of my limited wins. So I've won. Let me see. I've won 29 limited cards and I've sold 26 of them. And the most that I've gotten for one is 0.0185. So 0.019.
Okay. It's like a threshold payment.
Yep. That's the most.
Yeah.
God, this is so depressing. 23 of them I sold for less than 0.01.
Yeah. It's just so hard to win like podiums and having like a podium caliber lineup. Like, even with the limiteds, I mean, you probably have what we would qualify as like elite caliber lineups. Most of your D5s, is that fair?
That was certainly my goal.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just hard to win.
It's really hard.
It's hard to win in any region, anywhere, like take your wins and be happy. Like it's hard to win.
My like biggest win on So Rare was pure luck. Like that All-Star D4 was literally a leftover lineup. I didn't prioritize it at all.
Oh, I do remember it had like Higaguchi in it or.
Higashiguchi.
Yeah.
Mensa. Like there was nothing special about that lineup.
Yeah.
And there was no correlation. I didn't even look at the lineup. So I was like, oh, these are the five best cards I have left after making the lineups I cared about, which I don't think I won a single other card that week.
So it wasn't a River Plate or Bayern stack?
Not remotely close. I did have, I think Angolari was in that lineup. So I did have some River Plate.
Okay.
Bob Flynn here said he sold his Bergheis and Coates to go into limiteds and he just won U23. Bob, what'd you win on that one?
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Noah Lang?
It's got to be a sick card.
You'd hope so.
Goalkeeper, maybe. I saw Donnarumma around like 0.4 or something like that. For a limited?
I think Vandevort's, I don't know if he's that high. Oh, he might be. Donnarumma's like 0.35. Vandevort, yeah.
We got Vandevort.
That's awesome.
That's a good one. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. Yeah.
His second one.
There you go. Everybody's winning duplicates.
I got to buy an Mbappe.
Yeah. Man. Or loan an Mbappe.
Oh.
Right before rewards come out.
Right. I want it right after the game week starts, and I'll give it back to you before the next one.
I'll give you my entire gallery as collateral.
Yes.
So that I won't win any other duplicates.
But please just let me borrow this Mbappe. Yeah, that's fun. Nice job, Bob.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm hoping to win one this week.
So I'm not sure why we have like specific players, but do you have like when you go to buy a card, do you have any prioritization surrounding that buy in terms of like the region they're going into or just the
yeah so I basically keep like, to use an American term, I have like a depth chart basically.
Okay.
Of every region that I play in and where, like, I have the guys I would play on every week if I could. And obviously I change here and there.
So every region and every division in that region. Okay.
Yep. It's just in a big spreadsheet basically. And so, yeah, I'll have like, I have the five, well, I'll do the four spots, like goalkeeper, defender, midfielder, forward. And then the top four, like who I think are the four best. And then below it are all the other ones that I have. And it's not that deep because I try not to have too much depth. So if there's like a hole in one of the lineups and I have plenty of holes, like if I buy a card, I'm like, I'm buying this card for Challenger D4, whatever it is. Like I have an Adon, a rare card that I got from John Nellis, which I believe is still John's highest winning card, even though he hasn't had this card for months.
I love it.
So I was like, do I play Adon in Challenger or Global All-Star? And it was like, well, if I want to play it in, so I was going back and forth, do I get a Coates rare? And I would probably play the two of them in Division 4. Or do I get the Fidal super rare, which now I have to play in D3. And so I went back and forth, but I was like, I want to play D3. I have other super rares that if I want D3 to be better, I need to get more super rares. So like I bought that Fidal card specifically to play with Adon in All-Star D3.
I think you messed up. I think you needed to buy both of them, which I've told you multiple times.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But it's expensive.
Yes, that's why I didn't do it.
I'm trying to pull up the combos on So Rare Data right now. I'm not seeing... Is Fidal not on here? No, he is. I'm just blind, apparently. Their correlation's okay.
I mean, Coates is better.
Yeah.
I paid like half the price for my Fidal super rare than I would have for a Coates rare. Like, that's why I did it. If I had significantly more ETH, I would have bought Coates as well. I would love to see how many people win star rewards with two defenders. That was my only hesitation.
Two defenders, probably a lot. Two defenders on the same team.
That's
I don't know.
Like I
play those lineups a lot, and I don't think you have enough. I shouldn't say you don't have enough upside, but you better have upside elsewhere, because you're really just kind of banking on, like, that's typically like a clean sheet play. Like you're banking on a clean sheet. You get the clean sheet, then you really got to have your upside elsewhere.
Yep.
Unless it's a guy like, I don't know, just a super high scoring defender that always scores well.
Like
that,
Sebastian
you just happen
Coates
to be playing that stack. Like
Coates is the answer, though.
Coates, yeah, there you go.
He actually is the answer.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I haven't ruled it out. I got all season. Don't have the ETH, but I have the all I got. I just need to win all of the expensive limiteds that I bought, sell them, Oh, the Ajax defenders. Ajax anything just kills. But
you know what I have a hard time buying? Cards that I feel like I missed the boat on. So, like, Coates would be a good example. Like, if you look at his pricing history, I've been on the platform for 2 years. So, yeah. I know that I remember – I think I had a Coates. And I remember, like, he used to be dirt cheap. You could pick up a Coates for, you know, like, I don't know, probably like 0.05 ETH. Let's see if price graph shows it. Go way, way, way back when. Oh, yeah. 0.04, 0.045, 0.021, 0.01.
And that was like 40 bucks back then, too, to make it even worse.
Yeah, it was nothing. And then if you look right around the boom, they popped all the way up to half an ETH, and now they're just like – just chugging along at like 0.35, 0.4, yeah. Something like that. And it's like, I feel like for a 31-year-old guy, I missed the boat. Like, I missed the boat on him. Am I really going to go chase after rewards by buying this 31-year-old defender? Or do I try to find the next Coates?
Do you know what I did?
You tried to find the next Coates?
I bought his limited.
Ah. So you still got a piece of the action.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yep. I have a sporting stack now. I have four guys. One was by accident, and the other I was gonna play in U23, but who knows what will happen there. But yeah, yes, to answer your question, I buy cards for specific lineups.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I'm like married to playing them there, but I absolutely do that.
Yeah.
I really don't try to speculate much. If I do, it'll be in limiteds because I don't have like the...
What do you mean you don't try to speculate much?
Like, I don't try to buy cards to sell them for more later.
Gotcha.
Like, I buy cards for my lineups.
Right. But I mean, you can kind of do the same. Like, I bought Wendell to play and use, but then I felt like, okay, I can take some cheap, like I can take a quick profit and, either buy back later or just not buy back later and do something else. And I don't know. I don't know if that's like something that other people do where it's like I intended to use him, and then it was like, well, okay, I can make some decent money and use that on something else that I want to do.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. I did that with limiteds early, and I just didn't. The problem I had with limiteds is that it was going to end up being a lot of work for like 0.008 per card.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem like it was worth. It didn't seem like it was worth it.
Yeah.
It is for others, but I don't have the time to do that.
Yeah. That, I would say that's kind of the frustrating part with like all the limited rewards that I have won thus far. I have not even come in like top 20, I don't think, or I haven't done anything amazing in the Division 5. So it's like all the stuff that I've won is kind of like similar to the stuff that you mentioned earlier, where it's just like 0.008, whatever the floor is. I think I've sold multiple cards now at just like the price floor that I think it's $5. So,
yeah, I mean, I've sold five cards at 0.0025 or less.
Yeah,
four at 0.02, which I think is the floor.
Yeah.
Including my Larry's Mabiala.
Is it Larry's or is it Larius?
Is it Larius?
I don't know.
Oh.
I've always, just read it as Larry. Thought, oh, it's Larius.
No, I read it as two Larry's.
Plural.
One Larry, two Larry's. And I actually felt bad selling that one because I already had the super rare and the rare, which is obviously why I won the limited, but I just had to go. Yeah. But yeah, I'd like to win good limiteds.
Do you have any good lineups going this week? Like that end tonight?
That end tonight?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Like, are you going to win anything?
That's a good question. I don't know. Let me check the app.
I've got a DNP goalkeeper in my all-star D5. And
that's what I was gonna say.
Oh, what's that?
When we were talking about like rewards in D5. So I think it got like I was winning tier 2s and tier 3s early with like one, two, or three DNPs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is awesome. And you can't do it anymore. And so now it feels really hard, even though it's now just reasonable.
Well, I don't know. Well, I guess it's international break. So yeah, I guess you still can do it. But like my All-Star D5, I have Walker Zimmerman, who subbed on for like 5 minutes and scored 27. And then I have a DNP goalkeeper, and I'm still winning a card. I'm in the tier twos right now. So I could potentially pull a tier two out of there. More than likely, though, there's going to be enough games that go tonight to where it'll just be a tier three.
I'm currently winning two tier three limiteds, one of which has one DNP in it and will probably have a second. My captain scored 112. I think that helped.
Yeah.
And the other one has one DNP. It has a 103-point score in it, who I did not captain. I probably should have captained that guy.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And maybe someone else plays. What is that? This one is 60 points from a tier two, and the other one is 62 from a tier two. So, no, I'm not winning anything good this week. It'll be two cards that will be on the market tomorrow afternoon for 0.002.
Yeah.
Can we get them?
I take it back. I have Callens left, and I'm 8 points away from a tier three rare in D4. So I could pull a card out.
Yeah.
I could pull a rare card out.
Yeah. Is Rui Diaz there, or is he still at home?
He traveled, got hurt, and then I don't know if he came back. I would assume he came back, but I don't know that. I'm not 100% sure. But he pulled like his hamstring or something, or quadricep or something. Some kind of muscle.
Whatever it was, it ruined my lineup.
Schmetzer or whatever, he said that it wasn't like super serious, like might just need a week off or something. Didn't sound bad.
Yeah. You know what else didn't sound so bad? Nicholas Ladero's knee.
Yeah. Oh, don't remind me. Jordan Morse is back.
Particularly salty about that because I made a Seattle Sounders limited stack for the playoffs, and now everybody's hurt.
Quinny, I don't think that's true unless like that is like really super new news. But he like reported to the Peruvian Assassin. So he reported to camp and he was gonna play, I think, or at least be on the team. Because I don't think he's been playing all that much, but he got hurt.
Yeah. I like this. Next question, and we can probably just finish up after this. In D3, would you play a better projected player or a super rare?
Oh,
for example, Matias Vera, super rare versus a Mihailovic rare. The way the lineup works out, if I use the Georgie rare, I would only use one super rare in the lineup. I love this question.
Me too. I hate this question because it pains me so much, and I know I make mistakes. I think you have to just come up with projections in your head, like either average, like a range. Like if you can come up with a score range, like mid range, and then like top range of what that player can do, and then you compare the two, and you add the bonus, I think you have your answer. But I screw up a lot and just play a super rare.
I always play the super rare. Like if I build a D3 lineup and it's better with four rares, I kill the entire lineup and I put those players elsewhere.
Yeah. I've got a good example of this game week, me doing the right thing. Although we'll see tomorrow if I don't change it tonight. I made my champion D3 and I have the honor and privilege of having both Goretzka and Kimmich. So both of those guys are in this lineup. They're both rares with an Osimhen rare. So like stacked up there. That's D3 and that's three rares. My goalkeeper is Pau Lopez rare, but they're home and I think they have a decent matchup. And then I'm playing a Leonardo Bellardi super rare in that slot. First of all, I don't feel like I'm surrounding these elite guys with enough good players, but this is a messed up week for me because I have Mike Mignon, and he was kind of like my AC Milan stack was my go-to. It was going to be my go-to thing in Champion Europe. So I'm all kind of screwed up. But I think that that lineup can win. I really do. I think Marseille at home can keep a clean sheet and then let the Oshamans and Baron boys feast.
What does your global all-star D3 team look like?
I haven't made it yet.
That's where those guys should go.
You think so?
Yeah.
With like elite super rares? How about this? I will do
don't
that.
Don't do tonight. That because I'm in there. So don't like you. I would happily not have you there.
Nope. I'm going to do that. I'm going to set that tonight and then we'll see how it goes. I'll take Laird's advice and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I think knowing Champion Europe, and I say this being somebody who doesn't play it at all,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that lineup has a chance.
Really? Oh, breaking my heart here, man.
No. But like if you play those three rares, so the problem is that then you have to play Kimmich is a midfielder.
Yeah, but
so you have to play a goalie super rare.
I don't have to. I can play Oshiman somewhere else, and I can find a good super rare forward to play there. When I say good, let's temper the expectations. I don't have like the most elite guys, but let's just. Take a quick peek.
Noah Lang.
Oh, God.
Don't do that.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Should I do that? No.
No. I don't know why I'm walking you in. I'm trying to win this thing myself.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
What about? Well, no.
All-Star D3 is for suckers, man. You don't want to be in there.
I could play Luis Orejo on the road to Toronto. I like that card. I think that could work.
So that's instead of Oshiman?
Yeah.
So it's super rare. Right, yeah. So Araujo's super rare. Kimmich, Goretzka, Bellardi super rare, and Paolo.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think that's better than whatever you were going to put into Champion Europe D3.
Okay.
But now you have to do something with your Oshiman.
That's fine. That'll be easy to find a place for him.
I'm sure. Special weekly? Oh, no, he's too good.
Yeah, that's okay. I can still make room. And I'm sure whoever I put in U23 D4 or even, U23 D4, I probably put a less good guy there because I wanted to save Oshiman for that lineup right there that you're saying I was about to waste. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to podium U23, D4, and D3 this week. That's fun.
And Global All-Star D3.
Mm-hmm. No. You're coming second. I have.
Oh, because you're winning that one.
I have Rusnak in there. You have no chance.
Fair enough. I did see that lineup. That's a sick lineup.
Yeah. I can take Messi. You can take.
That's the Neymar. That's the Boo, Gil, Rusnak. Who else?
Butez and Desailly.
Utez.
Shout out to Sam on that one.
That's fun.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time for us to make some lineups. Not
yeah, we ran long.
We ran long. Sorry, everyone. Thank you for watching. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below, that would be greatly appreciated. If you are listening to the audio version, if you could please rate and review it wherever you are listening to that. Once again, this is the So Rare Andrews podcast. Brought to you by RotoWire and sponsored by SoRare. We'll be back next week with another topic. And I assume we'll have much more to talk about since it's not an international break. Although this felt like a very serious conversation.
It did.
It was a pretty good one, right? If you guys have any questions for us or topics you'd like us to hit up, please feel free to reach out to us either in the SoRare Discord or on Twitter. You can find me at Andrew M. Laird. Andy is at ablack86. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. See you.